Ward mustered enough gumption to heat a bucket of water on the kitchen stove. They took off their shirts and with dishwashing soap silently scrubbed the elk blood off their hands and arms, their skin stinging from the nicks and cuts. Eric saw Ward's eyes quickly run over his body with concern. "I'm a little underweight, aren't I?"
"You look like one of those cows in Russell's painting, waiting for a Chinook. You ever seen that?"
"Yeah, in one of Gwen's art books." Ward grinned, but the concern never left his eyes. Eric pulled off the medicine pouch and handed it to him, but Ward shook it. "Why don't you wear it until we get back to the house? It seems like it does you good."
Eric immediately fell asleep as he slid down into his sleeping bag. He woke up 2 hours later, knees pounding, his clean t-shirt soaked, and the medicine pouch wrapped around his neck. He sat up and was immediately cold. The temperature had dropped dramatically since they'd sunk down into their beds so tired they could barely have the energy to eat a bowl of Lorraine's chili. Eric got up and restoked the fading bed of coals. He shook out 2 ibuprofen and swallowed them with cold water straight from the pump. He stood beside the stove and looked at the lump of Ward in his bed. Unlike previous nights, Ward had not moved much, or at least Eric didn't think he had. Was he all right? Was that the way the deal worked? The man he wanted dead manages to live and yet dies by the whims of fate. Eric crept across the cold floor and peered at Ward's shape. It rose and fell in a slow rhythm. Eric scuttled back to the stove, opened the door, and stared at the fire. How many times had he turned away? How many times had he retreated from the participation on the grounds that it was not worth his time or that it would invariably have sour results? How many times had he turned from his first wife, Candace? She wanted children from the day they were married. She even tricked him once, saying she forgot to take the pill for a few weeks. He didn't even know she was pregnant until she miscarried. Now she and her husband had 4 girls. How often had he turned away from Allison, who ached for his approval, and for a man who was demonstratively affectionate? By the light of the open stove door, he rummaged in his duffel until he found his long underwear tops and bottoms. He stripped off his damp t-shirt, still smelling the elk's musty scent on his skin and the moisture of the pouch. A shivering, dank chill ran through his upper body, but he instantly regained warmth after donning the long underwear and a fleece jacket. He felt as if he were plugged into an electric current. He went to the window. Stars were out, and yet it looked like it was still snowing. How could one see the heavens and snowflakes at the same time? Was it always either or? The urge to be out in the starlight and the snow seized him, immediately following by a list of reasons why he should not indulge this notion. But he found his bivy sack, pad, and polar fleece hat. He grabbed a sleeping bag and, tugging on his fleece boots, stepped out into the cold. A half-open sky, the marquee of stars unobstructed, competed with the banks of clouds dropping fat, white flakes. Beneath a pine, where the snow barely hit the needles, he flopped his gear down and arranged himself accordingly, using his boots as a pillow. Sliding down in the bag and bivy sack, he felt himself more insect than human, as if he were entering a chrysalis. Through the branches, the celestial theater scuttled across the sky in a slow-moving conveyor belt. For the first time in his life, he gave himself permission to really look at the Milky Way. No angry soliloquies gained the stage. No voice in his head tried to take over. No compressor blew in tension like fluffy loose insulation being forced into the airspace of an attic. No worry about the potential cold or servicing debt or his mother's shortcomings or avenging or solving anything. He saw himself for what he was, a man nearly half a century old, as Graham would say, alternatively getting his face bathed in a million-year-old starlight filtered through a thin veil of pine boughs, then, the next minute, seeing black clouds and feeling snowflakes melt on his cheeks. He had no vision and wouldn't have trusted one if he had. A door slammed. Eric woke and lifted his head. Ward stood on the porch, looking at him. He waved. Eric waved back.
He was ready for anything.